Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hawk, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to the Voice of Destiny Show. If this is your very first time tuning in with us, I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Hobb. The Voice of Destiny show is a vision to bring you the message of Jesus' kingdom culture. It's a conversational talk show to empower you to be, do, and have everything that God has destined for you. And we've been having a conversation with Ella Coleman, the founder of Elevation Publishing, a woman of God who is a general in the marketplace on the communications mountain. And Ella, I want to welcome you back to this incredible conversation that we've been having about King Priest and understanding what our destiny. Welcome to the show again today.
Oh, thank you. And what a pleasure it is to talk about the kingdom. Mm-hmm. It's just such a profound subject. And, of course, we could never cover it all. It's just so full, so rich, so overflowing.
Yeah. Well, you know, this was the message of Jesus, the kingdom of God. And I'm dealing with the issue about identity was so essential that the priest during Jesus' days and Paul and all of them, they kept asking him, "Are you a king? Are you a king?" Because they understand that your identity is the programming for your future and your present actions. You know, whatever you are today, you know, whoever, wherever you are today, I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that your mind took you there first.
That's right.
Whatever relationship that you're in, whatever success, whatever failure that you're in, your mind took you there first. So this issue of mentality and identity is essential to the royal priesthood of today. This is why Paul said, "Let us be transformed in the renewing of our mind. Let's not be conformed to the patterns of this world, because it is the way that we think that tie us to all the things that we do here on the earth." So this is why Jesus came with a message saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Change your identity, because the kingdom of God is at hand, and the kingdom is requiring us to manifest it in our lives through the mindsets and the mentalities that God has given each and every one of us."
Well, you know, I'm going to bring out a little point here, and I want to bring this out only because Jesus Christ brought this out. And, you know, when we're following the kingdom, really if we look at Jesus and those red words in the Bible, it really is a great foundation from which we can build, you know, because on no other foundation can we build except the foundation of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus Christ said in Matthew, the 16th chapter, he was talking to his disciples, and he says, "Who do men say that I am?" And some said that, you know, they thought he was John the Baptist. Others said Elijah, they said, and so forth. But then he looked at them and he said, "But who do you say I am?"
Mm.
He says this in this is in the 16th chapter, and he asks them this, and then Peter looks at him and says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Living God." And Jesus then says to Peter, he says, "Simon Peter," you know, he says, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And he says, "I also say to you that you are Peter." So Jesus knows Peter, and Peter knows Jesus. And that's what the kingdom and that's what the church is established on. He says, Jesus says, "And on this rock I will build my church." And the church is us.
Mm-hmm.
"And the gates of hell," Hades, "will not prevail against it." And then the keys come. Because when you establish something, you can go in and out, you can do things, you have authority. Keys represent authority to bind,
and
loose, to lock up, and access.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But the whole structure that what Jesus is talking about, the whole kingdom, is based up on knowing one another. It's based up on knowing Christ. Because we have to realize that if we don't know him, then he says, "I never knew you." You know, I never knew you. So in knowing Christ, the kingdom is activated because his kingdom comes, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And one of the reasons why we are in the earth is because we can help others to come to know who Jesus is. And that is something, the reason why Peter, and I'm going to bring this because Peter, you know, everybody, I love Paul, I love them all, I love Peter, I love all the, I love the saints. But one of the things we know is that Peter was the leader of the apostles as chosen by Jesus Christ. Peter was the only one that got out of the boat and walked on the water. And Peter was the head of the disciples. I know Paul wrote the most books. I know that he was awesome in everything. But Peter knew Jesus Christ when many of them did not know who he was. There were those of all the ones standing there who didn't know who he was. They were right there with Jesus. All and he, this is on after he they're walking with him. They still don't know who he is. And so part of having authority in the kingdom is knowing the king. Part of having authority and walking in the marketplace is knowing that with every step that you take, it is ordered by your king. Part of knowing the power of that is that you were predestined, ordained, and everything that transpires in your life is going to ultimately work through to the right the glory of your king, to the glory of your king. And knowing that, you can walk with assurance. You can walk with your head up. You can walk and look anybody in the eye, and you can go and speak into their lives, and you can cause things to happen that otherwise would not happen. But you have to know. You have to know who Jesus is, and you have to know who you are in him. When you know those two things, that's why Jesus said to you are Peter, and Peter is the rock. When they said that, that just means the one who knows, the one who's established in the knowledge of who Jesus is. That is what the church is, ones who know Christ, because he came to the world, and the world knew him not. But we now know him. If we accept who he is, then we can accept who we are, and that's how the power of the kingdom is manifest. That's why he says, my kingdom come, my will be done. Because in these last and evil days, we are going to rise up, and I know it sounds, a lot of this sounds like, you know, it's something, you know, way that may not happen to us, but it's happening to us right now, and that's why we're having this, because we're going to begin to talk about the kingdom. We're going to begin to walk as we're supposed to walk in the kingdom, and we're going, I'm prophetic, and we're going to be able to carry out our kingdom assignments and to do what thus says the Lord.
Well, Daniel 11th chapter tells us that they that know their God shall be strong, and they shall do great and mighty exploits. This is a gospel that requires us to do something about that which we have learned from God, that which we have heard. Jesus was systematically changing the way the hearers of his message thought about things and about government and about money and about people and about forgiveness and, and about responsibilities so that their actions would change. One of the goals of kingdom-centric teachings is to impart to the believers and the people that are hearing our message, one of the goals is to impart to them a fixed mental attitude or disposition or frame of reference that predetermines their responses and interpretations of their circumstances. Because they that know their God, they that know the king, it will change the way that they act and they respond to their circumstances. We're going to take a destiny break. We're going to take a destiny break right here, Ella, and we're going to come back and we're going to talk again. This need for us renewing and re-engineering the way that we interpret our circumstances because of the mindset that we have. We must have the mind of Christ, which is a royal mind. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Ella. It's been incredible. I'm talking about the essential of the renewal of the mind for us kingdom citizens, because we've been given a mandate. We must know what the king's will, his boundaries are. When you think about Nehemiah, he had a passion that God had given him to restore the walls of his beloved city, but he went on the authority of the king, and the king gave him a letter.
Mm-hmm.
It gave him a letter that prescribed what his rights, his privileges, and his authority was in the execution of this assignment to restore those walls. And every one of us as king priests being sent to accomplish the task that God has given each and every one of us, we must know who we are in the letter. We must understand and discover our identity in Christ, but we must also understand our identity in the world as the king priest in Christ, because what we are called to do is incredible. The assignment God has given us is incredible. And I think that this mindset shift that God's bringing about in the church is essential for every one of us to tap into God's purposes and God's plans. Ella, so what do you think God wants us to put as a priority in the renewing of our minds?
First and foremost, God wants us to love one another. And when I say that, if you really love someone, then you don't lead them down the wrong path. You don't give them milk when you should be giving them bread.
Mm-hmm.
You don't preach to them every Sunday and cause them to become lame by giving them the same old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You actually move with the Spirit of the Lord. And that is what separates us from the world. It's us being able to move in the Spirit of the Lord. Because the Spirit of the Lord is what works through us. We've been given the Holy Spirit. And I know this is something that, they do a lot of stuff and a lot of things and all this and keep people in bondage by not releasing them into who they really are. But when you really walk with the Spirit of God, you move in the Spirit. What happened at Azusa back in the early part of the 20th century can also happen with us today. And basically what happened there with William Seymour was the fact that he believed God and he began to just move in the Holy Spirit. And that's
mm-hmm.
not being unseemly, because God does not,
mm-hmm.
Foam at the mouth, roll all over. That is not the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
The power of God is being able to say to someone who is in despair, you are set free, and being able to look them in the eyes and bring about a conversion through the Lord Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
his word and his sacrifice of his blood on that cross. That is the kingdom. The kingdom is not for us right now in this life, does not separate itself from the cross. What it does is it causes the cross to be even the power. What happened on that cross and what happened through that blood gives us the power to be powerful enough in the marketplace. That means in the world, anywhere out there. Whether we could go to the White House, we could go anywhere, and we can walk in. We should be able to walk in and change the atmosphere. Why? Because we are walking in the Spirit of the Lord.
Mm.
And when the Spirit of the Lord is with us, and he is, because he has given us his Holy Spirit, and that's why Jesus, there had to be a Pentecost. And I don't want to sound religious. We've heard this so many times. But the kingdom of God functions in the spirit out into the natural.
Mm-hmm.
You have to access it through the Spirit of the Lord. You can't
mm-hmm.
access the Spirit of the Lord putting on and, trying to do something on your own. What you do is you submit as a priest, because the priests go in, they went into the Holy of Holies. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and they took everything before God so that they could be, if the people would be still favored by God, because God does not look upon sin, okay?
Mm.
So we already have that taken care of. Now we can go boldly to the throne of grace. We can have boldness as we walk and say, God, I'm here at your throne, Father, Most High King, ruler of all creation. I am here, your daughter, and I know you have an assignment for me. So I'm just going to listen, I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to get my assignment, and I'm going to go out, and I'm going to do what you told me to do.
Well, first,
but this
Peter,
is the work. The work, and this is the last thing. The work
well, first
is,
Peter 2:9,
is believing.
First Peter 2:9 does declare to us that we're to show forth his praises. You know, declare the praises
yes.
of him who has called us out of darkness into his wonderful light.
Yes.
And then we understand in communications that more is communicated by what we see visually than what we say verbally. And
yes.
God is looking at the way that we're living our lives and we're connecting with our assignments and the people that are in our lives. How do we live in this planet and seeing the poor and the starving, the downtrodden, those that are spiritually unemployed, those that are not living up to their full potential and be okay, because we think in our little sphere that we're all right, but we are not going to be right as priests until we begin to bridge the gap between those that are disconnected with God and those that are connected with God. And so we're going to take a destiny break right here, Ella, and I believe that my guest for my next show has come into the studio, and I want to give him a chance to say hi to you and connect, and we're going to take a break right here, and we're going to bring back Pastor Larry Osaro from the Word Alive Ministries in Denver, one of the fastest growing churches in the Denver metropolitan area. We'll be right back. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. It's been a blessing to have Ella Coleman with us, and we're having another voice to join us, Pastor Larry Osaro of the Word Alive Ministries, my local pastor here in Denver, a man of God, a man after God's own heart who moves in the supernatural. That's a tremendous pastor, but he is a man of God that has a great ability to bring people into their destiny. And Pastor, I have in the studio with me Ella Coleman from Columbus, Ohio, the owner of Elevation Publishing, who has really been a tremendous gift to the body of Christ. And we've been talking about the importance of identity. You know, you're shepherding a congregation. You know the power of the thought life of a believer and how it affects their life. What do you think God wants us to understand about the importance of renewing our minds?
And by the way, I want to just thank you for allowing me to be a part of the program today, and
thank you
also for Ella.
Hi, Pastor.
God bless you today. I was listening in on your discussion, and it was tremendous. I could really sense the presence of God.
Mm.
But getting back to your question, Dr. Hopp, renewing our mind has a lot to do with things that we receive as we're growing up in the world that we're living in, and the culture,
mm-hmm.
family, a lot of the things that we're taught are engrafted into us, and that's why we have people who are just so different in the way that they do things. And so when we come in to the kingdom of God and we're serving God, immediately, I think by the work of the Holy Spirit, His direction is that we would begin to renew our mind into the way that God would want us to see things. Not the way the world sees things, but the way that He would want us to see things. And so we have to be able to renew our mind through the Word of God, but also by the Holy Spirit, and also by those that are teaching us, mentoring us, to get us into the right track to where we can really receive the blessings and the promises of God.
Wow. Well, you know, on our show that we're going to be doing after this one with you, Pastor Randy, we're going to be talking about the Lord's church and kingdom destiny design. And a lot of us do not realize that we are functioning in the church based on carnal programming instead of kingly programming, instead of operating on the precepts that we've learned through the process of discipleship. We're just acting on what our cultural experiences are. And that's very dangerous, because I always remind my kids about how I thought about sin and how I thought about authority and how I thought about people I was in relationships with in my community was based on the script that I got from my culture instead of from scripture. And I believe today that a lot of us need to be very intentional about who our shepherd is and also what we're doing in our personal life to affect the programming that we have that affects what we be, do, and have. And so what is it that you think that we need to do as baby steps, moving towards this change of mind? What are you, you and Ella, both of you, what do you think we need to do to move the body? What practical things do we need to do to work on this part of us, our soul, that our emotions, our intellect, the way that we think about things? What do we need to do to move towards that mind of Christ that God's calling us to?
Well, go ahead, Ella.
All right, I was going to say, since he just came on. But, one of the things that I think that has to happen is there has to be an all-out movement of actually teaching people about their identity in Christ. And when I say that, really going into the depths of who they really are and helping them to understand who they are. And then also testing them and giving them, for instance, you go to a job each day, it has to be very practical. Then what is your role there? Is your role to complain? Is your role to do all these things that some of our saints even do and allow the enemy to just continue to rule over them and to have them in, you know, funny situations with people and, you know, strife and all this kind of stuff? Or do we rise up and learn how to implement the Word of God? When we come to know who we are and we're taught who we are and we're taught royal etiquette of the kingdom, the royal etiquette of the kingdom is based up on honor all people, love your neighbor as yourself, you know, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. Fear God, and it says honor the king. That's right below the, down below that scripture in 2 Peter 1:2-9, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And that is what is important, that we understand that we have to be more and more like Christ in order to implement this. That means that we are not whining at the first crack of somebody's whip on us or their assault on us. We have to get a little bit more thick-skinned. And I told my friend this from being in business. I said, honey, you got to get your skin a little bit more thicker. Mm-hmm. When things are going airy and they're not going right, we have to then apply the kingdom, because that is the violence that comes to take the kingdom by force. All of the outside stimuli is coming from outside of you, and God is saying that the kingdom is to be activated in you, and nothing will be able to penetrate it when it's activated properly. It is activated, we found out earlier, through our knowledge of who Jesus is, who God is, and who we are. Mm. When we have our identity intact, we know royal etiquette. We know that we have a royal position because we are sons and daughters of God. That because of that, there are certain things that we don't have to be overly concerned about. One of the things we don't have to be overly concerned about is what people always say about us and, you know, if they don't like us and things like that. Those are the things, the cares of this world. I can't tell you how many people might not like me, but you know what I've come to understand? That I have to like me. Mm. I have to like Jesus, and I have to like people. Love them. When I say like love them, not just like, but love. That love is the root. It is the way that we are perfected. The reason why people are now being lame and not being able to activate is because the love of Jesus is not always coming across that pulpit. Some of the things that's coming are traditional things. Some of the things that's coming across there is not to equip them to go back out to their jobs, you know, in the marketplace and face those giants. Mm. You have to be able to know who you are to face the giants and to slay those giants, to slay envy, to slay hatefulness, to slay jealousy. How do you slay it? You don't fight against it like the world fight. Jesus told Peter, put down your sword. He cut off the man's ear. But you know, that's not the way it's done. The way that we do it is a different way, and it's in Christ. And it is more peaceful than it is retaliatory. So
and these
we
are
have
mind
learned
shifts.
That.
These are mind shifts that come to us as we're having our mind to be renewed. Pastor
right.
Randy, what are some of the practical things that we need to do to come into that mind of Christ to fulfill our royal priesthood duties?
Dr. Hall, I'm really encouraged by what Ella was saying, and this kind of goes somewhat in line with what she was speaking. I think really what it comes down to take those baby steps that you were talking about
mm-hmm.
and start to get into that right mode, first thing is we got to take some responsibility and come to the realization that where we're at is not where we should be.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to begin to remove influences from our life that are not good influences. You know, you were saying earlier that we're to renew our mind. You know, we're to renew our mind and kind of get into that kingdom mentality, that kingdom spirit that God has ordained for every Christian. Well, part of that is that we've got to remove some influences. We're influenced from the day we're born, again, by our families. And now, by technology, our children are influenced by the things that they watch on television. They're influenced by the things they see on the computer, on the radio, and then by other peers or people in positions of authority that might not be giving them the right direction. And so if we look at it in a more simple form, it would be like going and exercising and really giving your all at the gym, but
mm-hmm.
then not eating a good diet that is conducive to what you're doing at the gym. And a lot of people, you know, they're wanting change in their life. They're wanting change in their life, but then they're eating a lot of junk, and it totally tears down everything that they have built and worked so hard for. And so, in this type of thinking or process, it's like self-examination. What can I remove from my life that is hindering me from taking that next step, that baby step that you were talking about, getting into the kingdom structure, having mentors that believe and understand what that is. There's a lot of people out there that this sounds like science fiction to them, but in reality, it is simple, God-directed kingdom design.
Well, right. This conversation, brothers and sisters, that we are having is a kingdom-centric conversation that will really empower you to be, do, and have everything that God has destined for you. If you've just tuned in for the very first time, you've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show. Our calling is to bring the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture so that you can realize your power, your dimension, to be, do, and have everything that God has in store for you. We invite you to visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. I thank my guest. Ella Coleman and Pastor Larry Lazaro here on the Voice of Destiny show, who will be with us on our next show. So come back tomorrow, because God has a lot more he has to say to us about the kingdom. God bless you, our brothers and sisters. It's been a tremendous time, and we'll see you tomorrow. Have a good one.
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show with your host, Pastor Daniel Huff. Remember, kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's program, visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a